What can wash away my sin?
That's what the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can the sin atone, nor the good that we have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us, makes me, makes you, if you trust him, white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My dear people, the first attack the evil one makes on this book, this holy book, this Bible, the first attack the devil makes on the Bible is against creation itself. Against the spoken word of God. It's recorded in Genesis, and God said, and it happened. God spoke, and it became. Amen?
Amen.
Beyond our comprehension, beyond our really ability to truly understand, just to accept by faith. That God spoke and it became amazing. The Big Bang theory, the string theory, the expanding universe theory. Notice, beloved, these are theories. Amen?
Amen.
Even the scientists say they're theories. But there they are. But there are the facts out there, stars, planets, mountains, rivers, lakes, people. Amen? I just can't accept that I crawled up out of the mire and muck and grew legs. I can't accept that. I may be going back to being an ape, but I don't think I was born an ape. Regression, it's called. But think with me. It's so much easier for me to look out there and accept by faith, that God spoke and it became. And all this other stuff. But that's me. I just wanted to share that with you this morning. What does it take to believe that in the very beginning God said and it became so? And well, it takes faith. Amen. What we're going to talk about this morning. Faith in the spoken word of the sovereign God of eternity. Now, after attempting to disprove the scripture's record of creation, Satan attacks the living word of God. See, spoken word first, then the living word. And the living word of God is Jesus Christ. The word became flesh. Amen? And dwelt among us. Came as a man. God came as a man. So Satan likes to knock that around. After attempting to disprove the scripture's record of creation, he attacks the living word of God, Jesus Christ. Today, from many pulpits, in this country, it's being preached that Christ, the Logos, if you will, the Logos of the gospel, is not God. That Jesus was not virgin born. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fable, not fact. The mind of sinful man cannot comprehend, cannot get around these doctrines of the Trinity, or of the birth of Jesus Christ and of his return from the grave, the tenets put forth in this very book. Amen?
Amen.
This holy book cannot be accepted by our sinful minds, like mine and yours, but only by faith. By faith, amen? I believe it. And you know what? To humble us even further, the Bible tells us that the faith to believe is the gift of God. Yeah, that's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Read the first chapter, part of the second chapter of Ephesians. It's the gift of God. We can't conjure it up ourselves. Yes, my friends, the spoken and the living word of God must be believed by faith, as must the written word. So there you have it. And Satan's been busy whacking away at this for thousands and thousands of years. You see, it is faith in his promise to his people. God's promise to his people. Old Testament and New Testament. That make all the difference in the world and secures for you a place in the next world. The new heaven and the new earth. This Bible speaks of where the believer in God's word, spoken, living, and written, will be with him for eternity. Well, that's the simple gospel, isn't it? Isn't it? The good news? So I want to ask you a question this morning. How are you going to die? Well, most people say, well, probably if I'm riding with BJ in an accident. But, you know, how are you going to die? Are you going to die of cancer? Are you going to be murdered? You're going to die. We're all going to die. How are you going to die? I want you to turn in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk a little bit about faith. This is a primer. This is a wonderful reading for young Christians or for people who are maybe thinking about becoming Christians, thinking about putting faith to the test. It's a primer. Listen to it beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now remember. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. For the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I hope someone's here today diligently seeking God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive as an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child which was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A long reading, wasn't it? Talking about faith. The these of the passage we just read, of course, refers to the five Old Testament saints: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, and Sarah. The scripture makes it absolutely clear that hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, these all died in faith. Amen? Very clear. Died in faith. So let's examine what enabled these five people to die in faith. What exactly does it mean, anyway, to die in faith? According to the Apostle Paul, it had nothing to do with them. Amen? Nothing to do with them at all. But was the unearned and undeserved gift of God. Listen to what Paul told the church at Ephesus. By grace, Paul wrote, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Can't be any plainer. Can't be any plainer than that. It is the gift of God. Yes, beloved, Abel's faith in the garden was the gift of God. You say, but Jesus hadn't even been born. And it's Jesus' blood. You just told us at the beginning of the message, Jesus' blood that makes the difference. And Jesus wasn't even born yet. How is that possible if it's the blood of Jesus that saves us today and back there all those thousands of years ago? Abel died in the faith. How is that? Beloved, it is Jesus Christ shed blood on that cross that saved Abel and saved Enoch. It was the blood that the Son of God shed for sinners like you and like me that saved Noah, Abram, and Sarah as well. If you are saved this morning, you are saved with the same faith that these Old Testament saints were saved by, which is the gift, the free gift of God's grace to all who believe. Believe what? Believe God's spoken, living, and written word. That's it. You know, the sovereign God of eternity, his gift to sinners is no different in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. God's promise in Genesis chapter 3. Let's go there. The third chapter of Genesis. Very back in the very beginning of things. I want to read a few verses of scripture to you because that is better for you than anything I can say. So beginning with verse 9 in the third chapter of the first book of the Bible, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? See, Adam and Eve had sinned. And they're hiding from God. Amen. Where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Oh, they've been naked ever since they were born, but now they've sinned. Oh, amen? Oh, that's you and me. What we say? Anyway. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, or I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Hey, you got all this? Just don't do this. And that's the very thing they did. That's us. That's the way we are. Mama said, don't touch that stove, because it's hot. Yeah. Now he knows where hot is, though, don't he? That's the way we are, beloved. We're born that way. And the man said, it was Brenda. The man said, the woman whom you thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. It's her fault. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, now listen to this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise, notice the wording here, his heel. Why is that so important, preacher? It was the woman's seed. It is the Virgin Mary's baby that grew up to become the Messiah. Amen? The Savior that the Old Testament saints looked for to come, and the Savior that the New Testament saints looked back and saw came. Isn't that right? I'm not lying to you, am I? I'm not telling you a story. It's true. I look back hoping one day to see it happened as God promised. And let me tell you, it happened. Just like they had created himself, the image of Jesus Christ, his son. Turn to Romans chapter 8. A lot of scripture this morning, that's okay. Romans chapter 8. I want to wait till you get there. We begin with verse 28. Most of you probably have it all memorized. The statement is made here, and we know that all things work together for good to who? To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Now, who did it all for us? How do we accept that? There it is. Pretty simple, really. It's so simple, too many people miss it. I've got to do this. I've got to quit that. I've got to. You can't do it without Jesus. You gotta go to Jesus first. I couldn't conquer booze till I got saved. Tried, never worked. Trusted Christ. Was it easy? Of course not. Jesus never said it would be easy. Did he? Jesus never said, take up your cross and follow me. It's not easy. Faith. And so the question, of course, is this. Are you going to die in faith? Let's look briefly, quickly. You've been very patient. But let's look briefly at the five Old Testament saints we are assured by God's word died in faith. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. What merits did Abel have, or what work did he do that enabled him to die in faith? And the answer is nothing. But listen. His older brother, Cain, was a farmer. Amen? And Abel was a shepherd. God, we are told, respected Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's. Now, we love to speculate and argue. Baptists are real good about that. They like to argue about things. But it's easier to argue than to accept the fact that God is sovereign and we are not. We are not to argue over God's decisions. We are to accept them as holy, just, perfect. The answer is simply this. All through this Bible, it is made clear that innocent blood must be shed to pay for our race's sin against its creator. Is that true? Innocent blood must be shed. Jesus Christ came to shed his blood for us who are sinners. That's a fact. Now, here's the simple truth. The crops of the farmer did not bleed. The sheep of the shepherd did. Okay? Innocent blood. A lamb. So, Cain's offering was not acceptable, and Abel's was. That's all. That's the only difference. Somewhere, sometime, I assure you, they were told what to offer. You say, well, it's not in the Bible. Listen to me. Listen to me. What is the message here? Abel did it God's way. Cain didn't. Right? Abel did it God's way. Cain didn't. That's obvious. Because it says he died in the grave. Let people argue. I'll tell you, my friends, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How about Noah? Talk about him. These others were involved in completely different situations. All of them were very different. But, you know, it's this. We discover that the Holy Scriptures simply inform us, first of all, that Enoch walked with God and God took him. God took him. Well, God's not going to take a sinner. Not going to accept a sinner. So there's your answer. You see, we get all concerned about how unfair God is. And how could a loving God send someone to hell? And it's obvious, God sends no one to hell.
That's right.
God sends anybody to hell. God simply says, if you do this, if you trust me, you have faith, which is a gift I'm going to give, if you'll accept it, then you can come live with me. See, I prepared a place for you. I prepared two places, actually. Heaven and hell. Your choice. Your choice. Amen?
Amen.
Is that too deep for you? God took Enoch. Again, the emphasis here is that Enoch and Abel pleased God. Read it. God's grace was extended to them. Believing God, walking with God, trusting God's guarantees that by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of ourselves, not the preachers, not the churches, not moms, not dads, not my husbands, not my wife's. It's a gift of God. See, believing God and His Word is the same both. Abel, Enoch, Noah, believe God. He was ignored and made fun of as he preached for 120 years about the coming of God's judgment on a sinful world. And they laughed at him, made fun of him. And up there on the hill, building a boat. God's nuts. 120 years. God's going to judge you. He's going to judge you if you don't change your ways. And then one day, what happened? One drop, two drops, started to rain. Hadn't rained before. Did you know that? There was a natural until the flood. And then the sky opened up, the deeps opened up. Oh, that's just a fable. Okay. He was trusting God, sure about the guarantees. Abel, Enoch, well, they believed God. And even though Noah preached about the coming judgment for 120 years, they find a rain one day. Abraham will believe God to the point of sacrificing his own son. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me thinking about sacrificing Aaron so I could go to heaven? Because God said to you? Sarah, who believed God and felt her barren womb stirring with life, well beyond childbearing age, a miracle child born to a 90-year-old woman. No, my friends, Isaac was God's plan for the Jewish race. And here, his dad was told to offer him as a sacrifice. But, you know the story of the ram and the thicket. Faith. We find these five and more listed in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. It was written to the New Testament church to inform them that the God who created our race in his image is the same God in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Don't you believe anyone that tells you different. He is the sovereign creator and the judge of each and every human being created in his image. I want everyone in the sound of my voice this morning to die in faith. Everyone. Now you know. You can play games. You can pretend. You're going to be embarrassed because you've been in church so many years and have never really trusted Jesus completely. But the point is this. I want everyone in the sound of my voice this morning to die in faith. You say, but preacher, I don't completely understand it all. Neither did Abel, or Enoch, or Noah, or Abram, or Sarah, and neither do I. But they believed God, and so do I.